that's just storm. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, His love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Finding God in Prison. My name is Joe Montone, your host. It's great to be back with you on WISP Holy Spirit Radio and WCOJ, 1570 AM and 1420 AM. It is a privilege and a pleasure to be back with you. I want to take a moment to thank Frank Eliason for producing the show and for Dale and Jane's support continuously throughout the years, and specifically for the broadcast, but also for the WINGS program. And my friends, we have a great broadcast for you today. We have a guest coming on, Mr. Stephen Taylor, a graduate of the WINGS program over at CFCF, who is doing outstanding work on the outside. He has been home for 17 months and has been doing very, very good in terms of employment, saving money, and preparing for marriage and also for a new residence. Our show today, my friends, will be dedicated to the families of the victims of 9/11. And we know September 11th is coming up shortly. In just a couple days, we will be highlighting many of the things that took place on September 11, 2001. And today we just want to dedicate our show to those families who lost loved ones, over 2,996 victims between World Trade Center as well as the Pentagon and the airplane that went down in Pennsylvania. Close to 3,000 people were lost. And, you know, a lot of people wonder how that actually took place. But if you look at the evolution of terrorism in the 90s, in 1993, the World Trade Center was bombed at the base and six killed. The entire lower floor was actually taken out. And 8 years later, 19 terrorists who came in our country, who went into America on student visas, were basically disappearing and had been trained at some of our large flight schools where there were no background checks. And a lot of these men were preparing for what we call 9/11, and the great tragedy that took place on September 11th, 2001. And if you recall where you were, I know I do, I was actually getting ready to go to a meeting in Midtown Manhattan and when this took place. And so, you know, it is a devastating event and once which we can learn from. I know the evening of 9/11, the churches were packed, and I had the blessing of praying the rosary for a full house at St. Ignatius Church in Yardley, and I was asked to do that. And so, but I'll never forget how, you know, crowded the churches were, how fearful the people were, and how focused they were on their faith and their families. And so, you know, this was an incredible event, which we highlight once again. Now, on our last show, we talked about the Oklahoma City bombing over in Oklahoma, which took place in the mid-90s. And today we're highlighting the 9/11 event that took out close to 3,000 people. And the reason we're doing that is because we're involved heavily in inmate reentry work, trying to turn people around, trying to change hearts and change minds, get people focused on building up the kingdom of God, building up communities, families, versus taking them down. And so with that, again, we will be talking to Mr. Stephen Taylor, who is a graduate of the WINGS program. He'll be calling up shortly. And you know, just want to thank you for the opportunity to have him on our show today. Hey, Steve?
Yes.
Okay, great. So things are going well for you work-wise, and tell us, what kind of work are you doing?
Currently now, I deliver radiators. Basically, as far west as Harrisburg, Mechanicsburg, as far south as Beltsville, Maryland, and as far north as Newark, New Jersey.
Okay. Wow.
Everything is going well. It's going really well. The owner of the company is Mr. Marty Knoll, the Active Radiator. He's a very, very kind and generous man. And he's given me an opportunity to prove myself.
And that's excellent. And we really owe him great debt for giving us a chance in the Wings program to get you employed and get you moving forward. And Steve, when did you get discharged?
I got discharged at the end of April of last year.
Okay, so you've been home now for about 17 months?
Yeah, give or take. I'm not exactly sure. I try not to keep track of it because it's like when you're on the inside, that's what you do. You keep track of the time.
Right.
So like now on the outside, I'm just living day to day, taking each day as it is, as it comes, one day at a time.
Excellent, excellent. And so your work is going pretty well. And are you working 5 or 6 days a week?
5 days a week.
Okay, great, great. And what are you doing in your off time?
In my off time, I spend a lot of time with my family, building those relationships. Going in and out of jail most of my life, I lost some of those relationships. I'm 39 years old now. I'll be 40 Thanksgiving Day.
Okay. So
the next day is not promised.
Yep. You're coming up on 40. And how much time have you served, Steve?
All together, my entire life?
Yes.
I'll say 18, 19 years of that, in and out.
18. Okay. So that's a lot of time. And why do you feel this time you're definitely going to succeed in reentry and not return?
Honestly, I had to sit down and actually think about that myself, like to actually sit down, look myself in the mirror and just say, which life do you want? Do you want the life of being inside these walls with these people? Or do you want a life on the outside with these people? Society is a wonderful place. The year before last, for the presidential election, was the first time I voted. I was so proud of myself to be able to do that, to do something in society that actually mattered. Something that I was contributing to something that was bigger than myself.
Yeah.
So I chose this life opposed to the life in prison.
Okay. And that's excellent, Steve. Can you tell me what impact did the Wings program have on your success in reentry as you see it?
Well, primarily the structure. I'm the type of person who needs structure in my life because if not, I get complacent, thinking, yeah, I got it all figured out. I can just do this one time and it'll be fine. I need the structure in my life so I know this is the way I'm going. This is the way to get there. And this is how I have to behave and treat people once I'm there.
Okay. Yeah, structure is very important. And as you know, we focus on building every week through the 168, as we call it, you know, so that's been a good way to identify the total time available for you and for you to succeed to date in reentry. Building that structure is so important. So there may be some people out there listening who need the same thing as you. So if you were, you know, we have 30 new men right now at CFCF. We're in day three of the program. What would you say to the men who are getting ready to come home? What is, give me two or three things that they need to do upon reentry.
I would say the first thing that anyone should do, not once they get home, from the time they walk out of those doors of the prison, and God for letting you out. That is the number one thing you should do. You don't do nothing else. You don't go see your girlfriend. You don't go see your family. You come out and you thank God. Because until they let you out them gates, you're not out. Once you get out, the very first thing you should do is thank God for letting you out. I think the second thing is whatever goals and stuff you set prior to come out, put that first goal in order. My very first goal when I got out was, one, to thank God for letting me out. The second thing was to find employment. Before I even went home, I went to my former employer and spoke to them directly and asked them. I basically begged them to give me a second chance and let me back at my job. I think thirdly would probably be like to try to build that support system. Go to someone that you love and trust that you can talk to and tell anything to and explain to them what it is you need from them in this new relationship that you're going to have with them. Because the support system is incredibly important. A lot of people, they take that for granted. You have to have someone that is when you start to like to falter, when you start to feel like, all right, I'm a little down on yourself, you need to have somebody that you can trust, that you can go to and tell whatever it is you're feeling, not your actions, whatever it is that you're feeling. Get those feelings out and then take their feedback and use it.
Excellent, Steve. Excellent. And, you know, I just want to review again. Number one, you want to, you know, look at the faith of a person. And when you have that strong faith, you turn to God just to offer thanks for getting you home, which is so important because we know when you're on the inside, you know, everybody wants to come home. And the men who do, you know, should give thanks. And beautiful, very beautiful. And secondly, you know, you didn't go home. You actually went to your employer, your previous employer, and, you know, really asked him to give you a second chance, and he did. And thirdly, you know, building that support system. Now, I know you've been in touch with me personally for the last 17 months here and there and give me some updates, and we've had some great conversations. And so, you know, I think, you know, when we look at that building that support system, I can say that I feel part of that system, not every day, but
absolutely,
whenever, you know, you needed to make that call. And who else is in that support system for you?
Primarily my girlfriend, Corinne. She is,
okay,
she right now is one of my biggest supporters. Secondly, is one of my aunts, my mother's sister. She has, since 2015 up until the present day, she has been my number one cheerleader. When I came home, she was the very first person to tell me that she was proud of the man that I had become. Because throughout the years, I was not a very nice person. I was not a very good person at all. So for her to be able to say that to me and see that all the hard work that I had put in on the inside prior to coming out, it had paid off and it made me feel really good.
That's excellent. So your aunt has become a tremendous cheerleader, supporter, and your girlfriend as well has been there for you. And that's a beautiful thing to have just a couple of people who do believe in you to get you over that hump and to get you moving forward and create some stability on the outside, which is, you know, one of the goals in the WINGS program, to become more stable and more credible. And so, you know, every time I talk to you, I can hear it in your voice that, you know, you're more mature than you ever were, and you're very focused on maintaining, you know, what you have today, which is your freedom and your relationships, as well as, you know, good employment. And so is there a future here with the girlfriend? Is this going to become your significant other, your wife?
That part, we're still working the kinks out. We've been together almost a year now, since early December. But it seems like it's progressing. I like the fact that she doesn't tolerate nonsense. And like I'm saying, I need structure. So even in my relationships, I need structure as well.
Right.
Like boundaries are very important to me.
Mm-hmm.
So
very good.
The way that the relationship is going now is going well, and I could see myself with her for the rest of my life. Yeah.
That sounds good, Steve, because, you know, it's important to build that relationship and to follow what God says to do, which is to, he says, a man will leave his mother and father and join his wife, you know, and
yeah,
to be fruitful and multiply. I mean, that's what he says. He says it's not good for man to be alone. And so, you know, as you know, in the WINGS program, we kind of line up with what God says to do and not to do. And, you know, so you spent 18 to 19 years inside. How many times were you arrested, Steve?
I can't give you an exact number. It would take too much time for me to think about it, but I would say over 10 times.
Over 10 times. Okay. And how old were you when you were first arrested?
I was 12 years old when I first was arrested.
Okay. And what was the charge?
I stole a car. I was in a car that was stolen, I should say.
Okay, so you were just happened to be in the car with a few people, maybe, and
car was stolen. No, I was by myself.
Oh, you were by yourself. Okay, interesting. All right, and so you know there are a lot of 12-year-olds out there who are in need of guidance and direction. You know, so what is your message to the youth who are out there, maybe pursuing the same path as you?
Find a role model. Find someone that you can look up to, that you can trust. Look to those that are doing positive things. Those people who are doing those positive things, who are moving in a positive direction, those are the people who you need to emulate. Not the people you see standing on the corners all night and all day. You go to school, they on the corner, you come home from school, still on the corner. Those aren't the people that you need to emulate. Those people will lead you astray. I like to say, I heard a person say that you can be led into the fire. That is very true, metaphorically speaking. You can be led to the fire. So find those people who you trust and who you feel are worthy of your trust. And go to them with your issues. Like being trying to deal with issues and situations on your own is virtually impossible.
Yeah.
The other thing is learn from your mistake. Don't repeat your mistake. Repeating your mistakes and doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting different results is the pure definition of insanity. If you go through something and you get a negative result from it, don't keep doing the same thing that's going to keep giving you this negative result. You have to do something different.
Very good, Steve. A great message. And so, you know, finding a role model for the youth is very important. And also, learning from your mistakes, gaining wisdom. And this is very important. So, I want to just ask you one question. You've served 18 to 19 years, and what wisdom have you gained in this, for life? What wisdom have you gained from being incarcerated, from being arrested more than 10 times? What can you say about that? The wisdom you've gained, and I like what you said about learn from your mistakes, which means you have wisdom in itself. So, what wisdom have you gained from being incarcerated?
I think it's one of the things that the most important thing I believe that I learned is to treat people the way you want them to treat you, not to be so selfish. And I am a very selfish man. I have to say that. But to not be so selfish where you can get in your own way. Look up the definition of values and morals. Positive values and morals, and implement those things into your everyday life. Value friendships and family, hard work and dedication. Value those things. Be moral enough to say that when you know right from wrong, regardless as to what's going on, if you know it's right, go the right way. But if you know it's wrong, regardless as to who is watching, it's just about building integrity. If no one is watching you and you still choose to do the right thing, regardless of what it is, that builds integrity.
Yeah. And that's awesome. In the Wings program, we talk about that, doing the right thing, you know, and we measure trust one conversation at a time in the Wings program. But yeah, doing the right thing when people are watching and when they're not watching, because God is watching, and ultimately he is the one, you know, who is giving us either the blessings in life or the consequences for doing what he says not to do. And so, you know, some great wisdom learned, no question, Steve. You know, it's great to hear you, and at 39, coming up on 40 years old, you know, you're showing, you know, great. great examples here this morning on the radio of, you know, your success in reentry and the kind of philosophies you're running with on a daily basis. And ultimately, as you know, you have to prove it out. You know, a lot of people talk a great game, but you're coming through. You know, you've been out 17 months. It doesn't matter where you've been. What matters is where you're going. And you've been home for 17 months and you're doing, you know, well and creating that new stability and relationships and employment. And, you know, you spoke of thanking God. And so if you go back to, you know, the early years, where were you in your faith during the early years?
My family weren't very religious. There really was no clear direction as to where my faith was. Like, my family, we believed in God, but we didn't go to church. That wasn't one of the things that we did. Like my dad on Sundays, he would play gospel music, and we would, you know, me and my dad, we sit downstairs, sing the gospel music. And that was really the extent of religion in my household growing up. It wasn't until later on, that I kind of found religion on my own. I had a friend of mine, his grandmother, she used to take all the kids to church because she's a pastor. Pastor Williams, our church is the 17th of the name of. And she used to take us all down there, like pile us all in her. She had a great big car, or maybe because I was just small. We would go down there and they'd be singing and dancing and praising. And I was young, so it kind of scared me a little bit. Because like all these big adults, they're screaming and yelling. And I didn't really fully understand it. It didn't take some time, but when I realized that this is praise, they're giving everything of them to God. They're celebrating God. So once I realized that and doing my own reading, without God, there is no us. Like there's no in between. So the person that is who is most responsible for us, why not give them praise?
Mm-hmm. And that's great, Steve. And I appreciate you sharing that, because most of us take a while to get on board, you know, and to get that personal relationship with God, and to start listening, you know, to what He's telling us to do on a daily basis. And, you know, so you're not alone. It's one of those things that we all have to deal with. It's a journey. Faith is really a journey, and it's always being perfected. You know, sometimes we go astray and then we come back, and other times we're on that track for a long time. And that's where we want to be, you know, again, so that we can get what we call the blessings of obedience that Moses talks about in the book of Deuteronomy. And, you know, I love to quote Moses, you know, and he says, you know, be careful to do exactly as the Lord your God tells you to do, and to not deviate to the left or to the right, but to do exactly as He tells us to do. And this is the hard thing, because we so often want to, you know, do it our way. And when we do it our way, very often we're going to miss those blessings and suffer the consequences. So, you know, as you grow in faith with your aunt and your girlfriend and other people, is there a specific church that you worship at? Is this something on a weekly basis now today that you're moving into?
I would like to, 'cause my grandmother doesn't get around too well. So most weekends I spend with her. She's 86 years old, and she uses a walker, and she's not comfortable all the time going places where there's a lot of people, because she thinks she's a very prideful woman. So she doesn't like to go because she thinks people staring at her.
Right.
Now, I spoke about Pastor Williams, because her church is at 17th of Mango. I have gone there a few times to meet with her and talk with her, and just to get like a personal one-on-one. like a spiritual advisor to her. She's an older woman as well. That's pretty much the basis of my right now, anyway. With the church, my living situation isn't exact state right now, but it's getting there. I'm working on it day by day.
Okay, very good. Hey, Steve, do you have a driver's license?
Yes, I do.
Excellent. And do you have a high school diploma?
Yes, I do.
Excellent. And so, you know, give me one goal that you have set for yourself this year that you've achieved in 2018.
Okay, one is I wanted to build my credit up. When I came home in 2015, my credit was at a zero. So 3 years ago, I came home May 18th of 2015. That day, my credit was a zero. As of today, my credit is above average. That's what I'm told. It's about 658, 660 is my credit now. I'm now on my second auto loan. I paid the first one off. So my number one goal for 2018 was to build my credit, which I've done. I set some other goals now that I've done that, which is hopefully next year to be able to purchase or at least get into a mortgage to be able to have my own home.
And that's great, Steve. The building your credit with the banks is the main goal for us. And through stability, you know, we get more credibility. And that credibility is not only with people in our families and friendships, employers, but it's then with the banks, and so that you can buy that home, buy that car, and building up your credit, paying off debt, paying off loans. Some people have parking tickets, speeding tickets. Other people have child support. And do you have any of those?
Well, I just paid off my parking ticket. When I came home, I owed $3,700. I just finished paying that off about 2 months ago. I paid that off. I went to an actual dealership, Gordon Chevrolet on the boulevard, and I put a down payment on a car, a 2018 Chevy Sonic, which I am driving right now. I've been blessed in this past 18 months. I will have to say that God has done very well with me.
That's excellent, Steve. And so, you know, you hit the nail on the head right there. You've been blessed, and you paid off a $3,700 debt in parking tickets. You know, and you know, we all can get parking tickets. So it's a matter of a decision where you park to avoid that $3,700. You know what I mean? And so,
you want to be very. It was a mess. Like I said, I was not the most considerate person in prior to going to prison.
Yeah. But today you are more considerate, and today you're going to be more cautious about where you park, because I tell you the truth, I got a parking ticket and was towed away in New York City, Midtown Manhattan, many years ago when I went to an event and misread the parking sign, and I came out at about 2 o'clock in the morning, and my car was not there, and I had to go to the west side of Manhattan and pay $300, okay, and to get my car back at 2 o'clock in the morning. I'll tell you, I wasn't happy about it. So, you know, but we can all make that mistake. But, you know, again, to build your credit and your credibility, you've got to make wise choices and great decisions constantly. You know, every decision we make affects our credibility, and also it can affect your credit, you know. One of the things we do in the Wings program is try to help people to build that credit. So with the banks, the credit card companies, we've got to avoid those late fees, you know, and also those interest rates that are so high. So we try to pay off that credit card as soon as the bill comes in. We try to eliminate the late fees, which can be $25, $35 every time they come in, plus the high interest on the money you haven't paid. So, you know, that's the goal for all of us. We have to, you know, discipline ourselves to get those credit cards paid off and maybe have one or two credit cards. But, you know, with that good credit, you can indeed buy the home that you're looking at. And I recommend that you start looking at homes and continue to work on that credit. And when you have the down payment and you have, credibility with the bank where you're saving your down payment, you go to them for the loan for the home that you'd like to, you know, purchase. And because I think, you know, the WINGS program, if you remember, stands for winning ideas, nurturing growth and success. So residentially, we all have to be growing, you know, spiritually, mentally, physically, but also educationally, financially, residentially. This helps you to feel better. We want to be growing and not stagnating, because stagnating, many times can breed depression. And we want to, you know, be growing. No matter if you're 40, 50, 60, we have to continue to grow. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so, you know, as you save your money, you know, and continue to work, you start looking, you know, with a realtor at some of the areas you like, some of the homes you may be interested in, and start putting together a plan of action for how you're going to actually purchase that home. How much of a down payment do you need? Either zero down or 5% down or maybe 10% down, 20% down, whatever it is, and try to get the lowest interest rate that you can from the banks where you're saving your down payment. And then when you're ready, you make it happen. You transition from the apartment style living into the home, which is so important for space and privacy. And that's one of the great goals for WINGS, is to get every man to have more space and more privacy so that he can live a more peaceful, a more joyful life. And that's, as you know, being incarcerated in a 6x9 with one or two other guys is very difficult, would you say?
Absolutely. It's very difficult.
Yeah, it is, and it's tough. And some of the guys have shared with me some of the challenges in doing that. And, you know, and that's hard. So when they come out, space and privacy are two of the things that we strive to obtain. And it's through, again, stability and credibility. And that means working a good job, you know, for 1 to 2 years and more. And the banks will look favorably on you for that loan, you know. And so that's a great goal. Is there another goal that you have set, you know, for the next 12 months that you're looking at achieving?
I would like to be able to define where my relationship with my girlfriend is going to go within the next year. I would like I would like to be married within the next 2 years.
Okay. And so, you know, this is another great goal, and it's right in line with what God says to do. And so, you know, he says the man will leave his mother and father, join his wife. He doesn't say a boy will leave his mother and father. He says a man. And so there is a difference between the boy and the man. And we look at that, you know, and as you remember in the WINGS program, we have a whole list of things. And so at 40 years old, it's clear that, you know, you've arrived at your manhood, your captainship, and you cherish your freedom, which is so precious. And now we look to, you know, taking the girlfriend who kind of fits into your picture of life and making her your wife. And as I always recommend, you know, that you ask a lot of questions and make sure she is, you know, who the woman you want her to be, you know, and that she has what we call the six qualities, you know, the honesty, sincerity, respect, and the trustworthiness that you're looking for. You know, these are qualities that you cannot do without. You must have an honest person, sincere. She cares about you. She's respectful day in and day out. She's consistent. And with that, you've got the person that you're really looking for, you know, and this is important. So you make a plan to get married. And it's easy to do
But the question is, can you stay married? And that's the challenge. You know, marriage can be a blessing and a burden, as children are a blessing, but can be a burden. Very hard to maintain a marriage for a year or 10 years or 50 years, you know. And but the blessings come, you know, and God will give you the peace. But as you work through the day-to-day of life, you have these challenges. And this is where you have to sometimes compromise and sometimes work through the problem with another person. Requires a lot of patience, generosity, compassion, understanding. Just think about this, Steve. The opposite of patience, you're impatient, you're not understanding, you're not compassionate. This is going to be a difficult relationship. And so, you know, marriage really requires us as men to step up to the plate and to be more patient, more generous, more compassionate, more understanding. You know, I want to make my wife's life easier, not more difficult. And I've had friends who have lost their wives at 40 years old, 50 years old, 57, to cancers, different types of cancer. So it's all temporary, you know what I mean? And so we want to, you know, make the most of this relationship. Now, your girlfriend now, how old is she?
She's 32.
Okay. So, and is she working?
Yes.
Very good. And is it your goal to have children?
No, she can't have any more children. She has children. I have children.
Okay. Very good. Very good. And how many kids do you have?
I have two.
Very good. What are the names?
Saina. She's my oldest. She's 21. And Tayquest. Tayquest is my youngest. She's 19.
Okay. Very good. So, you know, I like to, you know, to kind of get to know you a little bit more as we talk on the air. I think it's really important to understand the bigger picture. But yeah, I think that you have some great goals that you've achieved, and it's a great goal to want to get married, you know, in the next year or two, and to see how you can put that together, as well as the housing, the residential side of the success story. Steve, is there anything that you could tell us about finding work for men who are coming home? What would you say is a critical component of finding good work after your discharge?
Being willing to start at the bottom. I think that's one of the things that a lot of men in like the urban community is they automatically want to be the boss. And when you come in and you working for someone else's company, that's just it. You're working for somebody else's company. You have to understand that they don't need you. You need them. So you have to go to work every day with that thought process. Like, I need them more than they need me. So you go in and you work as hard as possible. That's the one mindset. This is like once you find the job. Secondly, I think, and I don't know if it's right to say this or not, but trying to find a job on the internet to me was incredibly difficult. I'm a people person. I can sell myself better than I can sell anything else because I know me, I know what I'm capable of, and I know that I'm a hard worker. There are countless jobs throughout the city. It's just, there's a lot of people who aren't willing to put the hard work in to be able to go with the company and then grow with the company. They want to come out of prison automatically making $12 to $15 to $20-something an hour. It's really hard and very difficult to do that unless you have a specific skill set that is a requirement of that job. I think for me, the going, like this warehouse is all over the city, specifically Port Richmond, Fishtown, any of those warehouses, you can just walk in and fill an application out. 10, 7 times out of 10, you'll end up getting a job because they usually always need hard work. In a multitude of different, like the first company that I was at, I built Bowen Bay windows. I did that for 2 years. I worked incredibly hard, 58 hours a week, 6 days a week. I worked very hard for 2 years. So once I found, there's another company I work for now. Like if you would ride past it every day and not realize or walk past it, that this place is higher. All you have to do is look, there's always in all these warehouses a sign that says office. You walk right in there, you introduce yourself to whoever's in the office, is usually a receptionist, introduce yourself and say, listen, I want to fill out an application. I want to know if you're hiring. If you are not hiring, is there a way that I can fill the application and can be put on file? So that when you are hiring, you guys will give me a first look. And I mean, literally, there's hundreds of them.
Yeah. That's all great advice, Stephen. I like what you said about don't be afraid about starting at the bottom and working yourself up, because a lot of people want to make a six-figure income on day one, and it takes time. And it takes that skill set. We recommend, you know, people going to Allstate to get a CDL license or to Orleans Tech for the trades, you know, in plumbing, electrical, building maintenance, HVAC, or going to the Community College of Philadelphia and getting that degree in business or some other, you know, curriculum. But yeah, not to be afraid to start at the bottom, to work hard. And what you're talking about is that work ethic. Working 58 hours a week is a work ethic, you know, but, you know, making $10, $12, $15 an hour at 50 hours a week, you have enough money for rent, food, transportation, and putting money aside for that home that you want to buy. And that's just the beginning, because certainly you can work your way up and make more money. But, yeah, I like the way you're thinking. And I really think, Steve, that you would be a great asset for the men who are inside, who are waiting to come home, who are actually in the class, the Wings program. Are you still on probation?
Yes, I am.
And how long is your probation?
Well, currently I'm on parole. It was until next year the parole is up, and then it's 3 years probation following it.
Okay. And who is the judge?
Judge Palumbo.
Okay, Judge Palumbo. So, you know, as you, you know, I think we talked about this once before, but as you continue building your, you know, the case for reducing probation, we have a list of successes that you've had while you're on the outside. You know, get those documented. And we go back to Judge Palumbo and we ask him for a reduction in time, probation time, based on the good stuff that you have done, stuff we're talking about right here. And that's what he wants to see. The judges want to see, you know, they want you to produce results. And a lot of people, again, talk a great game, but when you produce some results, the judges very often will reduce that time. We had a guy only within the last 12 months who had a four-year probation. And the judge said, you know, was offering this deal. And he said, you know, I don't want the deal. He said, I'm in the Wings program, you know. And they were unaware of that to that point. And he removed the four-year probation when he heard that, and based on our credibility. So you being on the outside and, you know, creating that stability and credibility and paying off those parking tickets and working, you know, 50 to 60 hours a week, doing all the right things, you know, for a year, 2 years, we can go back to that judge and ask him for, you know, a favor. And not just asking him, we're giving him success in reentry. And that is the way you do it. You know, the judges want you to succeed. And he's done very well for us, the judge. He loves programs, and we are a alternative sentencing program, both on the inside and outside. So, you know, I think we can do well for you, Steve, on that note. Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes perfect sense, and I sincerely hope so.
Yeah, and we will do it. You know, we will work on that. And I think that for me, that would be a main goal, you know, for us, you know, to help you to reduce that time. You know, if we can get that reduced by a year and a half or 2 years, would that be a good thing?
That would be a fantastic thing. It'd be more than good.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, we had a guy many years ago who was facing 18 to 22 years. And we did the same thing, but he was on the inside of CFCF, and he walked out of court with 4 to 8 years. And we were able to, based on our credibility, based on his graduation of Wings, based on him actually being a speaker in 3 consecutive graduations on the inside, and the fact was that he had was facing a third degree sentence, and he had only one DUI in his background. His entire family was in court. He had graduated from the Wings and been a part of us for about 2.5 years. And the judge looked favorably on him and reduced the sentence from 4 to 8 years. And we did very, very well. He came home a year and a half after that sentence and did very well. Again, he was facing 18 to 22, which would mean he would be up there for quite a long time. So, you know, that's one of the things that we do, you know, in the sentencing phase of the case, is we have an impact on the judge based on the good stuff that we do, both inside but also outside. And people don't realize that. Some people don't even know how much time they have on probation remaining, you know. And
right.
It's very important that you know that number so that we can work it down and just to get out of the system, which is the goal, to never return to jail again. You know, the goal
right.
in the Wings program is to succeed a reentry, get off probation, never to return again. And while we're talking, Steve, I just want to remind our listeners that you're listening to Steve Taylor talking with Joe Montone here at Finding God in Prison and Holy Spirit Radio. 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. It's a privilege and a pleasure to have you with us, Steve, this morning. And, you know, we were scheduled to have a second caller, but it didn't work out. We've had a couple of audio glitches here, but thanks to the magic of Frank Eliason, we've done pretty well. And but I'm just thrilled that, you know, you were able to call in this morning. And I tell you, Steve, our focus this morning, prior to you coming on, was to talk a little bit about the attack on 9/11, September 11, 2001, if you recall, you know. And this is we have about 8 minutes to go, and I just want to, if you can stay, if you can, I'd like you to stay with me as we close out the show. And is that okay?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Great. So. You know, on September 11, 2001, we had this incredible attack on America, you know, and 2,996 people were killed, including 19 terrorist hijackers who boarded 4 airplanes. And this took place at the World Trade Center in New York City, as well as the Pentagon building in Virginia, and in a plane crash that went down in Pennsylvania. And so these, you know, 4 airplanes were boarded by hijackers. And these were 19 terrorists who came into our country on student visas. They got lost in our system and then were trained at our flight schools and on simulators, desktop simulators. And they were able to pull off 9/11 and basically, you know, take out just short of 3,000 people. An amazing, you know, tragedy that took place. And it just want to share with our listeners a couple of things, you know, that on any given day in the Twin Towers, 50,000 people were employed there before 9/11. 18 people were rescued alive from the rubble of the World Trade Center after 9/11. Only 18 people, just think about it, almost 3,000 were killed, along with 1.4 million tons of debris that were removed. There were 19,435 actual body parts which were recovered from the World Trade Center. And we have to pray for these families of the victims, Steve, who lost their loved ones. You know, who would have thought that Tuesday morning, you know, 9 o'clock in the morning, this thing would have taken place and that airplanes would have been used to, you know, to actually take down the World Trade Center. And as an aviator, and I can tell you that, you know, for many years an instructor since 1983, back in the year 2000, I was an auditor for a large company called Flight Safety International. And some of these terrorists were trained at large flight schools where there were no background checks. And they were also trained in specific areas, you know, on basically how to fly the airplane. And, you know, and so they were able to practice this thing in that they went on airplanes for weeks in different cities and they played this thing out. They actually practiced the event. And then when the conditions were right, it took place on September 11, 2001. And this was 8 years after the bombing of the World Trade Center at the base of the building in 1993, in which six people were killed there, but the entire base of the building was bombed out. Of course, it didn't affect the entire structure, but the terrorists waited 8 years for this event. And so, you know, as we talk about success and reentry, can you talk about the importance of helping men to make changes so that they, you know, don't follow this kind of, you know, pathway into more, you know, devastation or corruption or criminal activity? Can you talk about the importance of the WINGS program, Steve, as we try to get men to make changes?
I believe that if you are dissatisfied, or if a man is dissatisfied with his life, or even if you're satisfied with your life and you are tired of the looking on the news and seeing that young men of whatever color are killing each other on a daily basis, whatever city you're in, whatever background you come from, if you're tired of it, then the WINGS program is a great place to look for a foundation as to a solution to this. Because if you look at the structure of the WINGS program, you put God first, God says, thou shalt not kill. If you look at the structure of that, just from that very, very first aspect of the WINGS program, put God first, then you put yourself. You can't have a solid foundation if your personal foundation is not structurally sound. You can't worry about your family, your friends, your employment if you aren't mentally ready to be able to take those things on. So I believe that as a man or as a woman, the WINGS program can be incredibly helpful to be able to build a foundation that all of mankind can build their lives on.
And that's awesome, Steve. I want to go back to something you said earlier about finding a role model. Well, you know, the terrorists are role models as well in a negative way, as are, you know, organized crime, you know, leaders and this and that. But I tell you, in the year 2002, a year after 9/11, a 15-year-old boy inspired by 9/11, stole an airplane and flew it into a skyscraper in Tampa, Florida. And, of course, he was the only one killed in the event, but he, you know, was inspired to do something on the negative side. Now, one of the great things that came out of 9/11, I'll just tell you that when flights got diverted, okay, or grounded, during 9/11, September 11, 2001, Canada, the country of Canada, our friends up in the north, housed, fed, and sheltered over 33,000 passengers of diverted aircraft. And so this was an amazing, you know, act, you know, at a time when it really was needed. One of the great things that came out, our churches were packed. The last survivor removed from the World Trade Center collapse was found in the ruins of the North Tower 27 hours after its collapse. And no doubt it was, this person was found by a fireman or a policeman or emergency service person. And these people dedicated their lives, you know, during this event to helping save the lives of other people. My cousin, who was a New York City fireman, lost 7 individual firemen from his own firehouse. And he was off that day, but I tell you, you know, other men were killed. Other people who were firemen and policemen were killed when the building collapsed. And many of the people actually who were victims of cancer today and in the past have received that unfortunate illness and diagnosis as a result of the asbestos that came through the air, you know, with the falling of these buildings. A tremendous tragedy that took place again, the National September 11th Memorial and Museum in New York City has been built. It's a memorial that commemorates the September 11th, 2001 attacks, which killed 2,976 people. And also in 1993, the World Trade Center bombing, which killed 6 people. So that memorial, which is downtown on 180 Greenwich Street in New York City, which was open on 9/11/2011, 10 years after the fact, is available, you know, to go and see. And I recommend that, you know, we make an effort to go there and to pay our respect to the 3,000 people and to all of the families who really suffered the loss of a father, a mother, a sister, a brother, a son, a daughter. And in so many ways, we lost a great deal. But this is, you know, where do we go from here, Steve? This is where, you know, we decide to every day to do the right thing, you know, for God, and to find something that pleases God, to build life up rather than tear it down. And this is absolutely why we are involved in the Wings program 25 years today, working with men who have done some, you know, some damage. But it doesn't matter where you've been, what matters is where you're going, and that's the main thing.
My friends, I want to thank you for tuning in with us today. It's been a privilege and a pleasure once again to be here with you and highlighting our guest, Stephen Taylor, and really dedicating our show to the loved ones who remain here after the 9/11 event. It has been a great show, and I want to thank Steve for calling in at the early hour and getting this show on the air. It's been a blessing to be with here. I want to thank Dale and Jane for their continuous support, all of our donors who have been with us since the beginning. This is our 25th year in the Wings program and our 18th year in my father's vineyard. It's a blessing to be back on Holy Spirit Radio each and every month. So I want to thank you all for tuning in with us today. My name is Joe Montone, your host. This is Finding God in Prison, and we'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio. Have a great day. God bless.